The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Well, we celebrate Easter today, so happy Easter. Have you ever tried to learn a new skill or hobby? As a teenager, some friends were water skiing and they said, "Why don't you have a go?" I said, "Looks easy enough." Hang on to a rope, get towed behind a boat. They said, "All you got to do is just hang on to the rope. That's the key thing you got to remember, hang on to the boat." And as the boat powers off, you slowly stand up and in no time at all, you'll be whizzing along behind the boat. And I said, "Cool, sounds fine." So away we went. Boat took off. I'm getting towed by the boat. I'm going, "This isn't too hard." I come to my feet and I go, "This isn't too hard." And next second, I'm like this and my skis are back there. And then I'm like this. And I'm trying to decide, do I let go of the rope? He said, "Just hang on to the rope." It didn't take long for me to make my mind up. I remember when one of my children, Emma, was learning to ride a pony. And we had this great little pony, and she'd been riding quite well out in our large driveway out the front. And I just said to her, "Just one thing to remember, don't let go of the reins." And so she'd been doing really well, and she rode right out to the front of our driveway, and this sports car went past and backfired right in front of the pony. The pony took off, Emma came off, and she's hanging onto the reins. And I'm yelling, "Let go of the rope! Let go of the reins!" And she eventually lets go of the reins. I rushed over and I said, "You all right? What were you doing?" She said, "You said don't let go of the reins." You know, in both those circumstances, you'd think you'd let go. You think you'd just realise that in the midst of what's happening, just let go. Sometimes it's really hard, though, that if you're still trying to live according to the mindset you've got or the last thing you've heard, it's really hard to change. Anyone else ever found that? Yeah. And if you're an observer, like, how often is it that when you're watching sport and they give an overhead zoom and you sit there and you go, "It's so obvious what they should do." But when you're down there in the heat of it, it's not obvious, is it? And it's really hard to let go of mindsets when you're in the midst of a particular situation. But when you're on the outside, it's really easy to make comment. Or if you're looking back, it's really easy to know what you should have done. You know, we're here today on Easter Sunday and we are celebrating the resurrection. And we can look back and we can look from the outside and we can celebrate with great joy going, "I knew Jesus was going to rise again. I knew it. He told his disciples so many times, but his disciples just didn't get it." But let's take a moment now and try and put ourselves in the mindset of those disciples, because their mindset still was that Jesus had come in just a week earlier as king. He'd come in where people were enthroning him, calling out to him as a king, as a messiah, as a conqueror, and they didn't expect to fall off their skis or fall off their pony. Their mindset was still what it had been for so long. And now they'd fallen off. They're being dragged along by circumstances that they'd never planned to be part of, and it's really hard to let go of that mindset. And so, with all that's happened and all that they've been dragged through over these days, from Jesus' arrest and then the trial and the crucifixion and his burial, they've had these few days of just trying to be comprehending what's happening. They're dragged along by it. And we discover they're hiding in a room for fear of the Jews. The ladies, on the other hand, are much more practical. They're actually getting in and doing something. They're preparing spices so that they go and anoint the body, which they assume is still dead. Because when someone is dead and buried, why would you think anything different is possible? So they have still got this mindset, first of all, that Jesus was coming as king, and then suddenly he's not in the way they expected, because he's been crucified, he's died, he's buried. And now they've got this mindset of fear that the Jews who did that to Jesus, are they going to come and do that to them? And then we read from John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18, that Mary Magdalene went and stood outside the tomb, and she was weeping. She is crying at what has happened. And then Jesus comes and reveals himself to her. And so she goes back to the disciples and she says, I've seen the Lord. Now, I don't think this was a really solemn occasion where she went back and she said, excuse me, I've seen the Lord. Could you imagine the excitement that she felt? This exhilaration that suddenly what she thought was is no longer, because Christ is alive. And she's going, I've seen the Lord. She would be so excited about it. And then in the next two verses from that passage, we read this. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. That's telling, isn't it? Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So what's happening here? The followers of Jesus are shifting their mindset. They're letting go of what they've been hanging on to as it's dragged them through these circumstances. They're no longer being dragged. Why? Because the resurrection's got the power to change people's perspectives. Their circumstances mightn't change, but their perspective changes when they take hold of the resurrection power. Because we've just heard the disciples were all together. They're in a room that was locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Why? Because the Jewish leaders had just murdered their master. He'd murdered the Messiah. Would these same Jewish leaders come after them? Were their lives in danger also? Would they suffer the same fate of crucifixion? Because that looked really painful. But the resurrection totally changed their perspective. When we read from Luke's gospel, in Luke 24, verses 50 to 52, it says, when he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Contrast those two passages. These same disciples who are cowering in a room with doors locked for fear of the Jews experience the resurrected Lord. They see the power of the resurrection. And where do they go? To the home base of those who just killed their Messiah. And not only that, they start worshipping and praising God in that place. I mean, that's in your face. That's an incredible concept. That they went from fear and cowering to now, through the power of the resurrection, they go into the temple, to the home base of the Jewish leaders, and start to praise God. See, the resurrection's got power to change people's perspectives. Why? Because the resurrection is powerful. On Friday, we looked at the power of the cross. Today, we're going to look at the power of the resurrection. And the Apostle Paul, in his introduction to the book of Romans, writes this. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who, as his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, verse 4 here is confirming that the resurrection of Jesus Christ confirms the authority of Jesus as the Son of God. See, Jesus had previously been walking in incredible humility in his ministry on earth, often with great derision, often with people mocking him. But now, where is the risen Christ? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He now sits in heavenly places. He now rules with majesty and splendor, no longer dead but alive. No longer subject to earthly decay, but resurrected to new life. And so that resurrection of Jesus Christ just confirms and releases his power, his authority, his lordship over all of creation. In the natural and in the spiritual. Over all powers and authorities. It says this is Jesus Christ, our Lord. But you see, the power of the resurrection doesn't just change your perspective on the circumstances you're in. The power of the resurrection didn't just confirm the authority and the position of Jesus Christ as the Son of God seated at the right hand of the Father where he rules over all of creation. The power of the resurrection is available to us. And that's why we celebrate today as well. His resurrection power is here to change our lives as well. In Ephesians 1 from verse 18 it says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Listen to this. That power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Paul is saying here that we have available to us his incomparably great power for those who believe. What is that incomparably great power? It's the same power that he exerted when he raised Christ from death to life. When he took Christ and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Just look at the descriptive words in that verse. It talks about great, power, might, strength, exerted, raised. I reckon Steven Spielberg would love to have that many exciting words in one scene. And Paul puts it all here as he describes the power, the majesty, the immensement, the beauty of Christ's resurrection that is available to us. We can live in that. Incomparably great power. Can't be compared to any earthly thing. Mighty strength. More than Superman. Raised Christ from the dead. In this situation, no one laid hands on him. No one went and prayed for him. He was raised from the dead through the glory of his Father, according to Romans 6:4. And through the Spirit, according to Romans 8:11. And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the one that comes and lives in us who believe. That same Spirit that had power to raise Christ from the dead is the same one who can live in you and me. I believe that's why Paul wrote in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. See, the power of the resurrection changes people's perspectives. The power of the resurrection declared that Jesus Christ was not only Saviour, but he was Lord over all of creation. That he reigns at the right hand of the Father. And the power of the resurrection is available to us who believe. That's what Paul was writing. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. You know, there's many different nuances that come out of that verse, and I'm going to unpack all of them or explain all of them. But there is one particularly for today. To walk in the power of the resurrection, we must also choose to participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. What that means is that there is a choice we need to make to choose to die. Not to die in the physical, but to die to self. A death to the desires of this world. In order that our desires will now refocus on aligning our life with that God the Father would have for each one of you, which is unique, which is different, but is always good. It is a death to a lifestyle of sin and evil, so that our lives would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of that would be by how we live our lives. In Romans 6 from verse 3 it says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" This is this dying to self. "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, and the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." This is a key passage for baptism. You see, when we are baptized into his death. We choose to die to our own selfish and sinful desires. In verse 6 it says that our old self was crucified with him. It died with him. The power of the cross is that sin and death are defeated in their entirety. The power of the cross is that the devil, Satan, was defeated. Therefore, when our old self is crucified, the power of the cross to remove sin and its effects are enacted, because we are no longer slaves to sin. That's what it teaches us. A couple of weeks ago, and again on Friday, I was talking about the first miracle of Jesus, when the wine had run out, and there had been this feeling of helplessness, of horror and of shame. And yet it had to happen. It had to happen in order that a new miracle could occur. Until the old was gone, the new could not come. And so it was the running out of one that brought about the miracle to bring forward the other. For the resurrection miracle to happen, there first had to be death. Christ's life was emptied. And for many, that led to feelings of helplessness, horror and shame. But it had to happen so the resurrection could happen. In the same way, we need to run out of ourselves. We have to get to that place where we are emptied of ourselves and we realize there is nothing in us that is going to give us the fullness of life that we can truly experience. We need to be willing to die to self so that we can experience the power of the resurrection. It's why verse 4 says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." That's available. And if you haven't known that and you want to know that, then today's a great day to come to know that. Love to chat with you more about that if you'd like to. But you know, first, we have to be buried in the baptism in order to rise again in new life. We have to first go underwater if we're going to come back out of the water. Is that true? See, the parallels between Jesus' death and resurrection, together with going under the water and coming back up again in baptism, is just so clear. Those parallels were so strong in the early church. In the years after Jesus' death and resurrection, the church saw this connection between his death and resurrection and baptism, going down into the water and coming back up in new life as a new person that God has made you to be so evident that they chose that they would celebrate baptisms every Easter. And that's what they did. Because when we celebrate baptism, we are celebrating the power of the resurrection. Because as we've seen this morning, the power of the resurrection is it changes your perspective, even though your circumstances around you may not change. It changes your understanding of who Christ is, not only as Saviour, but as Lord over all of creation, where he sits at the right hand of the Father. And it changes our perspective on ourselves and changes our lives forever.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.